The delicate pale blue light of this zone intermingling with these iridescent, delicate shades throws a 58 delicate hue of palest lavender over all. Words are inadequate to describe this sublime beauty which charms the soul. In the fourth zone in the cathedral you had placed before you a tray of most precious jewels of every color and kind from which you selected your choice. This jewel was taken by the teacher to this zone and placed in the temple of love, where the masters read your life through its vibrations. The jewel we have selected has its own rate of vibration, and from this vibration the masters know our soul growth and our destiny. Here they judge us not to condemn us for our mistakes or to chastise us for the state of our growth or degree of consciousness we have attained, but to reveal to us that which we are best fitted for in either world. In our present pursuits in the soul world and in our work to render proficient service to humanity on this earth realm, and these are the instructions the intelligences follow to the letter, for they realize these masters have the wisdom to penetrate and reveal the law. In following these instructions it assists us in climbing the ladder of life, for we are about halfway on our journey through the soul world of this planet. We have two more heavenly zones and two more celestial heavens ere we enter the third celestial heaven, which is the fountain of bliss and rest. Here we are properly placed according to our soul growth or degree of consciousness as we continue to function in the world of soul and at the same time render active service for the upliftment of those on the lower rungs on the ladder of life in both worlds. In this zone we have become united as one family having one purpose. United through divine love, the greatest dynamic power in the universe. United to serve God by uplifting His children, so in unison they work as God's messengers to accomplish many things for the benefit and uplift of the soul. This divine love is the link that binds all humanity. It is the light that illumines our soul, that consumes all selfishness, and is the power that transmutes all the discordant elements into harmony and peace. At last we are conscious of our unity with Him and feel the touch of His infinite breath. The curtain of self has been lifted and the veil is being torn asunder, and the soul is reaching out across the threshold to the infinite, for we realize that the light which now radiates from our being is one with the infinite divine source whose essence is divine love. Man's desires have been many, and madly he has run after the varied objects of this world, for here he thinks he has his life and fulfillment. Little does he know or ever think of the vastness of the life before him. This clannish selfish purpose has caused many conflicts and contradictions, unhappiness and discontent. But at last all the conflicts and contradictions of his life have become harmonized, and in unison they carry out God's grand plan through the spirit of divine love. Doing good for the sake of good, and to do good is in itself an act that creates happiness. Here they are not only happy, but peace and joy fills the soul. They know our sorrows and requirements, but they also know the outcome and purpose. They so thoroughly know God's law that they see His will in all there is. They know that in many cases our sorrows and trials soften the heart and chisel off the rough edges of our character, giving us greater poise, a firmer foundation, a broader view and a larger and more brilliant consciousness. Who has not felt the gentle breeze of hope wafted o'er his brow, or the soft touch of an unseen hand, or heard the whisper of some sweet voice, or seen an unexpected angelic face in the hours of our greatest need, our deepest sorrows? All to assure us that we are not alone, and that God in some way always provides for our needs through His messengers of light, if we but open the doors of our souls to let the light flow in. 59. This does not mean that we should grow to be dependent upon invisible helpers or forces. Not at all. Everything in the universe tends towards individualization, and at the same time nothing can be independent. Everything is dependent upon something else, either directly or indirectly, and where there is mutual interaction of elements and forces, the divine purpose is carried forth in every plane or kingdom of life. The lower is always subservient to the higher, and the higher tends towards uplifting the lower. So it is with man. The dweller of this zone displays his individualized power, which he has attained through efforts, experiences, knowledge and unfoldment, conquering the elements of destruction and transmuting them into constructive forces, not only within himself but with all whom he comes in contact with. The influence tends towards strengthening the weak points of our character by bringing them into our consciousness and causing us to see ourselves as they see us and as we really are, and then point out the way for us to follow. It is our privilege to walk in that path or reject it. They do not live our life and we could not live theirs. They give us glimpses or visions of the right way. They cast reflections into our consciousness of that which is just, that which is good, then leave it to us to choose, and if we choose the right way, then they lend their power and force to boost us in that direction, clearing the path of all destructive forces and obstacles. This is only one way in which they answer our prayers for guidance and help, for God answers our prayer through His messengers. Numerous ways they have to do good for the uplift of the soul. Every prayer brings its answer, not always as we have asked for it, but in the way that is best for us, and as we look back into our lives we are able to discern how wise is that which we call divine providence, for the very things which seemed such a disappointment were the stepping stones towards something better, and our darkest and deepest trials are oftentimes the symbols of the brighter things which follow, and many times in spite of the apparent obstructions the light comes and shines in its fullness. In the world of soul, as we pass from zone to zone, we leave in every zone the outer garment through which we functioned in that zone. The soul now is of much finer substance and no longer needs food to sustain its being. The fourth zone was the first belt in which the dwellers subsisted through the law of assimilation, and here our soul body is much more ethereal and more porous than the fourth. It is necessary that we remind you of this fact, that you will be able to comprehend the still finer states of our being as we proceed on our march of ascension. The activity in the world of soul is very intense. These intelligences are constantly doing good, answering the cries for help that reach the world of soul. It is because the finite mind cannot comprehend the infinite, and because the finite mind has not been educated to understand natural laws, that man is filled with doubt and fear, and the superstitious tendencies have not yet been wholly eliminated, and he does not even devote a moment of constructive thought to their ways and means or their possibilities. Hence how can he understand how they in the world of soul do constructive work for the benefit and uplift of the soul that still functions in a physical body on this earth realm? If you could comprehend their resources, their wisdom, their power, then you would lend an ear to their voice, devote a few moments of your time in thought of them. Nevertheless, they reach those who are ready for their assistance. In the world of soul they are not encumbered with the limitations of a dense heavy physical body, and are free from all man-made laws and all material obstructions, hence can accomplish much. 60. In these higher zones they have attained the power to disintegrate the crystallized vibrations of obstruction and destruction, and centralize constructive vibrations that will produce conducive results for the betterment and uplift of the world. It must be remembered, however, that these manifest only to the extent that man himself becomes a conscious participant and is cognizant of the uplift or benefit derived. Any logical mind can fathom these facts. Why is it that whenever any soul in the physical body confronts some terrible crisis or danger, that his soul immediately becomes quickened with unusual strength and power? Did it ever occur to you that some unseen force or intelligence might be near? If your soul was sufficiently unfolded, or in other words, had reached a higher degree of consciousness, you would be in tune with what now is invisible, and the whole scheme would be visible to your consciousness as a clear unveiled reality. Man on this physical plane is so full of self-laudation that he likes to think that he has evolved all the power that manifests through himself. He does not realize that while he has the powers and potentialities within his soul of a Confucius, a Christ, a Shakespeare, and one might go on down the line to our present-day powerful souls, yet all of these had been quickened by higher intelligences. Not only that, but man on this earth realm is just entering the path that leads to wisdom and power. He is still on the lower rung on the ladder of life, and these intelligences who come to assist humanity have evolved to the higher rungs and have attained the wisdom and power which we have yet to accumulate. Even Christ was surrounded by still higher beings than himself, and said he could command the hosts of heaven to prevent his crucifixion, which he could have done. So it is unto all men. No one is ever alone. During this terrible war from the world of Seoul came the response for help, and many of the civilians and soldiers heard the voices and saw the light and came face to face with these illumined intelligences who hovered near amid the roar of cannon and strife. They guided and directed and assisted as best they could under the circumstances. Many heard the voices crying out, "Refuse to fight your brother man." This powerful influence modified many circumstances not generally known. The corruption that from time to time is being promulgated in various channels here on this earth realm is known in the world of Seoul long ere it manifests in this life. Our thoughts and intentions are registered from day to day in the universal ether, and they are able to see these culminate and bear fruit of its own kind. Much is modified and prevented, and much is allowed to bear its own fruit, as it is through such experiences that man awakens and then ripens into higher ideals. In the world of soul they require very little rest, so that the activity is almost incessant. The urge to do good is increasing, and in their steps of ascension they have learned to master their own inclinations and have turned their personal desires into universal interests and requirements and a universal love, so that in unison they send forth their power for the upliftment of human welfare in every direction to meet the demands and requirements of our present day needs. Results are brought about as rapidly as the minds of the individuals on this earth realm absorb this vision and bend their efforts in the direction into which this divine influence leads them. The interaction of the ethereal and material world cannot be obstructed nor prevented. Regardless of the prejudices and superstition of the ages, the eternal power has flown into the various avenues through the various individuals, and in spite of the clamor of the clergy and, 61, the layman, God's work has gone on in his own good way through his messengers of light, and will always continue to do so as it is so ordained through his law. Humanity cannot isolate or separate themselves into groups and willfully plot and plan against his brotherman without reaping the result. Neither can they separate or isolate themselves from God's great plan. All must work in unison and in harmony with God, and not against his law, that is his divine plan. So those who have advanced in the world of soul work in harmony with his plan by assisting and uplifting those who are on their journey, not to live their life, nor to dictate or hinder, but to beckon the soul onward, pointing the way and lending their force, that they will not linger by the wayside or tarry so long in the darkness. They reach those who are ready for assistance, that they may reach the objective point in their journey without so much suffering and delay. The human family is always assisted in both worlds by those who have progressed beyond the limitations of the lower belts into the higher scale of life, where the divine power of the soul could by its very touch transmute the lower into the higher. All in the world of soul obey the will of God, who carries forth his eternal scheme through the law of evolution, and all follow its dictations, which is God's plan. From time to time messiahs have embodied to show the way, but through the blind impulses and material tendencies prevailing, their mission and wisdom has always been misconstrued by the masses, and the few who were ready for guidance have profited and gone on to the heights where the blessings of God's wisdom awaited them. So while in the lower zones the intelligences worked faithfully to do good to lift themselves here in this holy zone, they abide by the higher law, and such thoughts have been wholly transmuted into perfect unselfishness, and the spirit of love is the urge that has quickened the soul through sympathy into action to do good for the sake of universal good. In their temples of learning much is imparted by the masters and apostles of still greater kingdoms, of still greater beings than themselves, of still greater heights to be attained, of still greater solar systems of worlds and still greater opportunities, and of still greater glories for the soul to behold and bask in its eternal light. Not only that, but we here learn through the masters the facts of still lower kingdoms. The lesser souls, the unruly, the dissatisfied, egotistical self-centered temperaments, who in their egotism think they could rule the world, establish laws and control the universe better than God and his angels, or his ruling angels, and his messiahs and all other lights combined. They want world dominion, and so they are given an opportunity to demonstrate their power of self-conceit, and such souls become dwellers on those fragments in our solar system known as the asteroids until such time as is necessary for their awakening and their conscious recognition of God's laws and his plan. There is no absolute perfection except in God, and there is no perfect harmony without a compromise, and this we find expressed in God's kingdom of our solar system. Here is found a comprise which takes care of the unruly, so that the perfect scale of ascension will be uninterrupted, without discord. Thus the path is uninterrupted in this world of soul around this planet, our Earth. All must travel the same path of gradual ascension through this country to fit themselves for the heavenly zones, and in the heavenly zones prepare for the celestial heavens, which are so much higher in the scale of life that the lower zones seem but a shadow in comparison. And in these glorious shores we prepare for our union. All of which will be given through the pages of Volume 2. 62. While the homes in this zone are so sublimely beautiful, they have been constructed for privacy, as the dwellers use them very little, for here they live out of doors with nature most of the time, and for weeks and months leave their families and friends and sweethearts to retire to the mountains or the deserts for meditation and concentration, and to put into practice and into activity the power of their will, that they may demonstrate the power of spirit over matter in the degree of their present unfoldment, causing manifestation out of the unmanifested, producing certain degrees of life. Here you not only realize that you are a creator, but you demonstrate your power in this zone, and as the opportunities present themselves for the benefit and uplift of some soul, regardless of race, color, belief or creed, regardless of conditions, no matter how low in the scale of life that individual may be, the power of good is imparted for the uplift of that soul. This is the divine mission of those in the higher scale of life. They also realize that their power is yet in its infancy, for the light has just burst forth, having been dimmed in the past by the veil of materiality. In other words, through the vibrations of the crude animal tendencies of selfishness, egotism, and mental emotions which the soul completely overcame and cast off, ere entering in this holy atmosphere, the light of the soul could not radiate its power in the degree it now manifests. Many satisfactory results are accomplished in their work for the uplift of the soul as they work in unison, and where there is union there is strength. Many souls in the ethereal world are dumbfounded and surprised beyond expression at the effects that the good unselfish works has upon their own being. The effects of the power of divine love cast upon some unfortunate soul and its reaction upon their own being. So marvelous, so intensely interesting, so unspeakably satisfying are these results that untiring are their efforts to accomplish good. They realize that they are messengers of God, and as they do unto the least, they are doing unto Him. Their homes are constructed of stone inlaid with precious jewels and gems. The architecture is very unique, suited to their requirements and ideals. Every home has its rooms for concentration or soul communion, and its private rooms for rest. Many have their private libraries, music rooms, living rooms, reception rooms and their porches. Most elegantly are these furnished, always in perfect harmony with their soul vibration, as every soul has its own special rate of vibration, and every vibration its color and shades. Their restrooms require the greatest consideration. Much of their furniture is in gold inlaid with jewels and upholstered in very dainty, delicate shades, and much of it is found in white and gold, all very downy and soft. The homes are surrounded by vines, beautiful shrubbery perennials and flowers. As you approach their homes, you are attracted to the beautiful white statuary on the entrance, soft air home, or on the front lawn amid beds of flowers such as centuries, iris, golden poppies, agapanus, purple orchid, gypsophila and others. Here you will see the beautiful jacaranda tree. Trellises, latticed arbors entwined with roses and vines, all add to the artistic settings of these homes. Their magnificent trees spread their branches like a canopy, inviting the traveler to rest under its cozy nook. Art and beauty are the fruition of the soul and do not belong to the physical desires, for as the soul unfolds more and more of perfection and the glorious, sublime beauty within itself, its natural consequence is that it longs to be surrounded by all the beauty that harmonizes with its own expression and rate of vibration. All nature displays her charms of beauty more exquisitely, more perfectly and more beautifully in the higher kingdoms of life, or in these higher vibrations blending most marvelously with the higher ideals of the soul, expressing in beauty and symmetry their glorious light. There is a great significance in the fact that we find not only the jewels in every zone others which vibrate with it, but also the flowers, shrubbery, ferns, perennials, all differ in, 63, every zone. In fact, when the finite mind can comprehend the law of vibration, then he will know that all of these, like the birds that differ in every zone, are but the outburst or the fruition of the vibrations prevailing in each belt. Even here on the earth realm we find every locality or country has its own production due to the vibrations and chemical conditions concentrated in that locality. So in the world of soul the vibrations graduate from pole to pole, causing their own special manifestations and conditions which are centralized in every zone. Here too we find most attractive parks artistically arranged, with their central fountains or iridescent sprays gushing to great heights and falling in profusion like a rainfall of diamonds, all lending to its wonderful charm. The perennials and trees growing to great heights, the flowers of wonderful varieties wafting their perfume far and wide, the beautiful songsters and hummingbirds all enhance the grandeur and charm of the quietude in these parks, where you can hear all nature whispering in its own sweet way which echoes in the innermost recesses of your soul. As most of the time in this holy zone is spent in research work along various lines which the soul craves or in ministering to others, not much time is spent in outings except for rest and meditation. Nearly every active moment brings some beneficial results to the dwellers of this most wonderful zone. No time is ever spent in idle talk or criticism, all their thoughts have reached the pure constructive flow of wisdom. Their power is ever directed towards uplifting those who have not yet reached these heights in the world of soul, and to those who are still groping in the dark in their physical expression of life on this material plane of existence. Notwithstanding the many advantages of gathering knowledge and information through these many libraries, and the research work of the chemists and the astronomers with their many instruments of which we have no conception, their temples of learning play a great part in this zone. Here the masters instruct these dwellers in the operations and results of the still higher laws of the still higher beings and their mission and of the work that lies before them in the next zone. In their house of congress many advanced souls gather to discuss problems confronting humanity on this earth realm, promulgating means and ways whereby to eliminate the disturbing elements and hindrances of progression ever from an unselfish view, complying with the law of evolution and choosing such individuals on this earth realm to carry out these decisions, and many other problems that come up for consideration are here placed on their tables, where they are carefully analyzed and weighed as they realize the responsibility, the reaction of every action, and after their decisions have been carefully made, they are placed in the hands of higher courts for their final approval or rejection. The inscription on their house of justice is in large letters of gold, "Justice to the Lord." In this beautiful white structure are various departments where many problems of different types are fully weighed and held in balance. In one apartment you will find all the reformers of religion who in the past were instrumental in overthrowing that which was unjust and held man in ignorance and bondage. They carefully study these problems as they confront man and are lending their influence towards still greater changes that will manifest in the near future, realizing the change must be gradual as man is only capable of shifting slowly. These problems are sifted and weighed by these intelligences, then presented to a higher court, to still greater masters, for final decision. In another department you will find such intelligences as Washington, Jefferson, Adams, Lafayette, Lincoln and many other capable advanced souls carefully weighing the problems of politics, and if the world could have seen this gathering of advanced intelligences together, 64, with still higher souls hover near the chair of our president, you would not be so surprised at the wonderful broad vision and the consideration he has given to the world. With this vision you could see the threads of internationalism being woven into the warp and woof of America, cemented together to bring about the brotherhood of man, that the spirit of democracy will reign here on earth in the hearts of all men in the near future. It must be conceded that instruments in the hands of the divine intelligences do not always carry out the scheme as intended and promulgated by these souls of wisdom who have the broader vision and who have the power to carry forth their will, but realize that shifting in a gradual scale is always best for the finite mind, and thus the problems eventually mature as has been planned by their higher courts. The labor problem is another that is gradually being fathomed and will be adjusted as rapidly as man is ready for it. All selfish, self-centralized tendencies must be wiped out, and capital and labor must become amalgamated. Every man must have the privilege of owning sufficient land for a home. The world belongs to God and God's children, and not to any self-centralized corporations for speculative purposes. The different nations will execute laws in the future to make it prohibitive for a man to own more than his own home. The land will be tilled in the interests of all. Women are coming into their own, she being naturally intuitive, more resourceful, more sympathetic, more refined, is unfolding her tendencies and possibilities, and her influence will modify and gradually help to transform the more aggressive animal nature in man. She will lead him to higher pinnacles of refinement and spirituality, and the day will come here on earth when all will tend to bringing about conditions and laws conducive to the soul's progression while it is still functioning in this physical body. When this has been accomplished, the world of soul will have no need of the dark sphere nor the domestic. Then we will find nothing lower in the ethereal world than such conditions which are found in the third zone today, which is a beautiful sphere of light in comparison with the second zone. Impossible to overlook the magnificent cathedral which surpasses all those grand cathedral structures of the lower zones, its wonderful large organ, its capacity and volume, such would be impossible to describe. The influence that these exquisite strains have on the soul are marvelous indeed. Music has been one of the great features in every step we took along the way. When the proper keynote in touched, the soul quickens into a consciousness of the sacred melody of the universe. Harmony is the keynote. These sublime vibrations flow into the soul with wonderful power and stir the divine essence within into sympathy and unspeakable love for all humanity. As you sit in this cathedral listening to the artists performing on their various instruments, especially the harp, and hear the sweetest voices rendering the most difficult music with perfect ease, your soul is stirred with ecstasy. Sacred music such as is not known with us, and many familiar exquisite strains and melodies rendered on the earth realm are rendered more perfectly here in this cathedral. Music having been taught in every zone as the one essential feature for soul progression, as music of all kinds sends forth vibrations of its own qualities and leaves its influence upon the soul. These vibrations mingling with the vibrations of the soul tends to either modify or quicken the soul into higher vibrations. In every zone the soul vibrates with the substance of that zone, the lower zone corresponding in rate of vibration with the color red. The seven zones arrange in substance and rate of vibrations with the colors of the solar beam in the prism. The soul not only vibrates with the colors of the solar beam in the prism in its various states of growth, but also with the notes in the scale of music in its different keys, on its journey of ascension. 65, commencing with the lowest color developed from the solar beam in the prism, red corresponds in its rate of vibration with the lowest zone of our planet, the dark zone. The second zone, whose light is like our twilight, orange, vibrates with the orange in the prism. The third zone, which is the first zone of light and wherein we begin our march of spiritual progression or soul unfoldment, vibrates with the yellow in the prism. The fourth zone, which is the great electrical center, also a great musical center, vibrates with the green in the prism. The fifth zone, whose light is pale blue, which is the first holy heavenly zone and a fountain of wisdom, vibrates with the blue in the prism. The sixth zone, which is another field of preparation whose light is a paler blue than that of the fifth, vibrates with the indigo. The seventh zone, which is the topmost round of our planet Earth, vibrates with the violet. Each of these seven colors graduate in their different blending shades, and the next color begins where the last shade left off. This corresponds to the seven gradations in every zone. Then comes the first celestial, whose light partakes of the most delicate blending of all colors in its most delicate tints, producing a shimmering of iridescent, most delicate tints of a seashell, and this is the first celestial heaven, a divine kingdom. The second celestial is like unto the burning flame of the sun, so brilliant is this celestial heaven, another divine kingdom. The third celestial will be given in volume 2, beginning with the sixth zone. This zone is not only the great center where all things have reached a high degree of perfection, but all inventions, all patents in any line whatsoever have been tried out and perfected in this zone ere they are permitted to be given through the various channels on this earth realm.